Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, brainstorming with a high D.
The questions this cast answers are, how do high Ds approach brainstorming? How do you manage a high D during brainstorming meetings? And as a high D, how do you best contribute to a brainstorming meeting?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Before we start today's show, just wanted to let y'all know that we will come on site to work with your organization and teach everyone there how to be a more effective communicator. If you'd like to learn more, send an email to Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com. Now, on to the show.
Brainstorming, where a group of people attempt to come up with ideas to solve a problem, was created in 1939 by an advertising executive called Alex Osborne. And obviously, teams have sat around and come up with ideas forever. It happened before 1939, and certainly he wasn't the person who created it out of the action, the thing that people do. But he did name it as a concept, as a good advertising man, I suppose. And he started to put parameters around it and say, if you do these things, they make it better, make it more productive, make it more useful. And then people built on that idea of like, this is what brainstorming is and how can we make it more efficient? And so that technique is now widely used and we just assume that it always existed, and it kind of did, but it also kind of didn't. But each DISC profile, each empty DISC profile approaches it differently. The high I's love brainstorming. High C's would rather not participate. Just send me an email, ask me for my ideas. But it is a useful technique for gathering new ideas, and you do want everybody's opinion. So how do you make the most of the talent in the group, whether you're the high D yourself or you're facilitating a group containing high Ds? When I first wrote this, I was like, just get them to calm down and not overtake everything. But that wasn't long enough for a podcast, so we came up with some more ideas for you.
So what we're going to cover is first a quick introduction to DISC. Then how to set and follow ground rules. Then how you can channel their and your energy. Also, how to leverage their and your drive to solve problems. And lastly, help turn discussion points into action.
So a quick introduction for DISC for those of you who are saying, what's this DISC thing? DISC is a behavioral assessment tool that uses two axes to identify each person's preferred style of communication. So there's two ends of a spectrum that each person can be on. The first spectrum is assertive and reserved. So you can be at the very assertive end or the very reserved end. And then the other spectrum is task-focused and people-focused. So those who are assertive speak loudly and quickly, make large gestures, and they believe they can change the environment around them. So if they're in a room, they believe that their will can change whatever's going on in that room, however many people there are. Those people who are reserved speak more cautiously, slowly, quietly, and they make small gestures, usually within the space of their body. And they believe that one person's wants don't outweigh the needs of the many. So if they're in a room with 100 people, they don't think that their will overrides everybody else's. Either way works. It's just two different ways of approaching the same situation. So we're not going to say one way is better than the other. You need all of them. The high Ds that we're going to talk about today and I's are assertive, and the high S's and C's are reserved. So that the D's and I's are at one end of that spectrum, on the assertive end. The S's and C's are at the reserved end of that spectrum.
And on the other axis, there are those that are focused on the tasks to be done. They will ask what needs to be done and will mentally check off the list. The people-focused individuals ask who is there and will take time to connect before they begin the work. So high D's and C's are our task-focused people, and our high I's and high S's are our people-focused people, the ones that worry about who is in the room compared to how to get the job done.
And so if you put those two axes together, high D's are assertive and task-focused. High I's are assertive and people-focused. High S's are reserved and people-focused. And high C's are reserved and task-focused. If you don't know what you are, you can go to the Manager Tools website and take the MT DISC profile. It will tell you what you are and how better to work with people of different types in your team. And also we have, I don't know how many, 150 podcasts about DISC, about what each profile is like, and then how they approach a whole bunch of different situations, which we are following in that series with this one about brainstorming.
You could also join me at a conference. I'd love to have you.
So we have the Effective Communicator Conference. It's all about DISC, and it's the most fun conference. Don't tell anybody else I said that, but it is so much
fun.
My
favorite day.
Yeah. So if you are in a brainstorming, you're setting up a brainstorming meeting, or you are in a brainstorming meeting and you're a high D, or there's a high D in the group, the first thing to do is to set and follow ground rules.
And conventional ground rules for brainstorming include no interrupting. All ideas are captured, and the infamous manager tools peanut butter rule, which is no negative comments about other people's ideas. It's about volume. Just get the ideas on the paper.
So if somebody says peanut butter, you put it on the thing. That's why it's called the peanut butter rule. Doesn't matter whether or not you understand why they said peanut butter. If they say peanut butter, it goes on the list.
And you unpack it later.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a facilitator, setting and enforcing these ground rules will mean that your high D will at least leave space for others to talk. It's that no interrupting rule that they'll leave space. The benefit for high Ds is that setting and enforcing ground rules means the meeting flows efficiently to a solution.
Because high Ds want to check things off the list, and they're assertive, so they're like revved up, they're fast. So getting to the solution, being able to check that off quickly, is a benefit to the high Ds. Because high Ds want to resolve a problem, not talk about it. In a brainstorming session, this means they take over because they know how to solve the problem. They just want to solve the problem, check that off, and move to the next thing. And it doesn't matter for them whether they're leading the session or not. They always end up in the lead because high Ds are assertive. They're willing to be loud. They're willing to interrupt others. They're willing to talk over others. And they're willing to make decisions. And all of that means that it's their solution can be the only one discussed or the only one heard and adopted, because their voice is the only one that's being heard. And this isn't to say that high Ds are deliberately disenfranchising everybody else. They're just so focused on getting to a solution and getting this thing done, this thing being come up with ideas and solve the problem, that they just overtake just because of their focus in that single path. They just keep going down that path and they ignore everything else that's going on around them. It's not that they don't believe in collaboration in principle. It's just it's faster not to collaborate, and everything needs to be done quickly.
And high Ds, above all else, value time. They value their time. They value your time. And the fastest way to get something done is to just do it and not talk about it right then and make adjustments later. So high Ds, their superpower is definitely that time. They want to get it done. And setting the ground rules means that you can hold the group to a standard. Enforcing them isn't personal. It's very objective. These are rules for everybody. And it's maintaining the agreed upon structure of the meeting. To be persuasive for a high D, tell them the rules are part of how we do this efficiently. If you play to their need to save time and get things moving, using the argument, not even an argument, but using the words, it's efficient, it's more efficient to set these rules, that'll really play to their strengths.
So for example, ground rules, one person speaking at a time ensures we capture all ideas accurately. In other words, the secret reading between the lines for the high D is, we'll do this once, we'll do it right, we don't have to do it again.
In the ground rule, no interrupting means we avoid wasting time with repetition or incomplete thoughts. That plays into, you don't have to repeat yourself if you don't interrupt for someone to be like, wait, what was said? Because no one interrupted, you can hear the thought the first time.
And another recommended ground rule, getting everybody's input before moving to decisions means we make the right choice once with all the information in front of us. Now, some of the other styles want to have all of the information before they'll make a decision. A high D will make a decision and be like, I'll change it later if I have to. If we do this the right way this time, we only have to do the task once. Heidi will have had experience making decisions and choosing a path and then having to undo it and redo the work, because that's how they go through their life. So this is a way of getting them to wait, hear everybody out, and then make the decision. And for the other styles, this guidance about channeling and harnessing a Heidi's drive, like kind of playing to them by giving them words they want to hear, might seem like we're asking them to mask their natural tendencies or not be themselves, or we're trying to control them. But Heidi's, and I'm one too, so I can say this, often find themselves infuriated by brainstorming meetings because they know they shouldn't dominate the meeting. And yet they also have this overwhelming drive to solve the problem, get this done, move on. And the tension that causes is infuriating, especially when you know it's yourself that's putting you in this position. It's awful. So this guidance is written as much, or we're giving you this advice, as much to help Heidis use their natural talents productively as it is to make the facilitator's life easier by giving them ways to manage the meeting better.
Just a little interruption here while I talk about our manager tools, DISC Profile. It's a way to help you handle your boss and your directs by learning to communicate effectively using the tool called DISC. Our profile gives you secrets to effective communication, helping you gain valuable insights into your own communication style and learn how to adapt it to others. All of this results in improved relationships, increased results, and greater success. What more can you ask for? So check us out online today at manager-tools.com to learn more about the MT DISC profile. Now, back to the show.
So let's talk about how do we channel that high D energy, right? A high D, we know, wants to take over a group and drive them to a decision so everyone can get to the next step on their list. While this is desirable for the high D, it's not always helpful for the success of the brainstorming activity. The very point of the exercise is to have as many ideas as possible, not to choose one and move on. So the point of brainstorming is it's a quicker activity, lots of ideas, it's about volume, and then you take time to go through them and figure out which one is the best choice or where is a good starting point. And in order to prevent the high Ds from taking over, simply give a high D a different task. This works whether you are the high D or that you're facilitating a group with a high D in it. Examples of these tasks could include the high D to be the advocate who makes sure that everyone is heard, that it is their job to make sure that everyone in the room has a chance to speak, because we know that there are some other profiles that aren't going to jump in and the high D can help prompt them.
Or be the scribe who makes sure every idea is captured. If you focus the Heidi's attention on make sure every idea is captured, they will not spend that energy monopolizing the rest of the group. Or be the timer who makes sure we give every idea its due and make sure so that nobody gets more time than anybody else.
If there's one thing a Heidi is good at, it'd be like, wait, what did you say?
Yes, exactly.
Let me write that down. They have no problem.
Use their strengths.
And you can prompt them to be a cheerleader for the ideas. They have no problem jumping in, talking over and saying, hey, yes, that's a great idea. Let's get it on the board. Or to be the person who makes sure that we have every possible solution before we make a decision. Instead of them giving their solution and running with it, they can make sure that there's a lot of different choices and different ways to look at it. If they are the person promoting that, you're more likely to get more options for the solution.
And so if you're a facilitator, have this conversation ahead of time. So tell the Heidi you're giving them this task because you know they're good at it and because it'll help make sure the meeting is successful. So for example, you could say, I need your help. You are really good at taking charge and making sure that we get results. So can you make sure that we get all the possible solutions to this problem? I'd like you to be our scribe and make sure that all the ideas are captured before we move on. And I'm asking you because you're so fast and thorough when you take notes. That'll help us reach the best decision faster than if we jump at the first good idea. So by giving the Heidi something to do that's not just brainstorming, you kind of dilute their energy, I guess, and it doesn't take over. Again, as our Heidi, I'm telling you, this would make me happy. I've got something to do that takes away that urge to just keep speaking. I've got a reason for being there other than producing ideas, which I'm not always good at.
Giving a task to a task-focused person.
Yes, it's genius.
That's what they want. They want to do things to drive results. So if you play into that, if you know that that's what they need to be productive and get results, you're doing them a favor instead of just having them sit back and listen, which would drive a high D crazy.
Yes, exactly.
Now, how do we leverage their drive or your drive to solve the problems? A high D loves a challenge. They're the people you can most easily manipulate with reverse psychology. And we say that not so you're like, let's manipulate people, but just so you know that a high D above all else wants to win. They don't want a participation trophy. They want the challenge. So if you just tell them something cannot be done, you can sit back and watch them do it. It's a great thing for them. Use this natural behavior to help the group when you need to find a solution. For example, work out the best way to capture an idea. There's your challenge. How do we capture the best ideas during this brainstorming activity? You can challenge them to ensure you have the maximum breadth of ideas. How do we get the most range of ideas from this group? They can determine whether the ideas are actually feasible. Those quick actions that high Ds are really good at, making those decisions right then and there of, is it actually feasible to do this? They probably think the quickest without having to process each of the ideas to be able to say yes or no in the moment. And do they need more information?
Yeah, because if a high D can't make a decision, then you haven't got enough information. Once a high D has enough information to make a decision, you still don't have enough information to make a decision for a high C or a high S. It's different information that they want. But if the high D can't make a decision because they don't have enough information, you definitely don't have enough information as a group. They're like your minimum viable information gathering device.
Yes. If a high D says, we need more information, something is missing for sure.
Yeah. And lastly, if you need to establish whether a solution satisfies multiple factors. So for example, if you have like five teams and whatever solution you come up with has to satisfy the request of each of those five teams, ask the high D, hey, can we make this work? And give them the challenge of making one of the solutions fit the needs of all five teams. The high D, that's a good puzzle for them to solve. This is kind of like having a task, but it's more directed. It's more like just solve this part of the problem rather than through the whole meeting. And it's more sort of after the idea piece of the meeting. So brainstorming meetings follow a structure, and there's the bit where you all blurt out ideas, and then there's the bit where you sift through those ideas and decide which ones you're going to take action on. And most of these tasks are for that period.
And if you're wondering what that structure looks like, we have a podcast on brainstorming. That would be a really good reference for you.
You can also ask your high D to help you move between the stages of that structure. So as I said, brainstorming consists of a series of stages, and it's really easy for a group to get stuck in one. Like one of the stages is work out what the problem actually is. And a high C will go round and round and round in circles with you about, have we got information, enough information to describe what the problem is so that we can solve it. There will never be enough information for that high C. And the way we're saying this, it might suggest that this ideation phase and brainstorming as a whole lasts hours, but that's not true. The point is to get everybody's ideas and then take action on the best ones. And so the stages are define the problem, suggest and capture ideas, sort ideas, cull ideas, and decide on the next actions. And so the high D can help you move between those stages because they're the most likely to think we're done first. And you might have to hold them back. Like, no, not everybody is ready. But you at least know this is the, again, the minimum amount of time we can spend on this before we need to move to the next stage. And then even if you say, hold on, we haven't heard from these three people, or we need to make sure that we've covered these three things, the high D will, because they're willing to speak up and speak over other people, will say, okay, we've done those three things. It's time to move on. Like whatever that criteria was you set, we've done that because I've checked them off my list. Let's move on.
And just to compare some of the other profiles in this example, a group of high C's can easily get stuck in the define the problem stage, because that I feel like is their favorite stage. Really walking through what does this all mean? Where do we have to go from here? And really getting stuck in the details, because high C's live in the details. That's what they thrive on. With a whole world of factors, they can debate what is not included in this problem space forever. Now, a group of high I's will delight in suggesting more and more outlandish ideas. They will just pile on the last idea because ideas are great. And doesn't really matter what the details are because more information, the better. And get everybody on board so they can start to pile on during that suggestion of ideas phase because they think anything is possible. They will sell things that you don't make. Just keep that in mind. And they will definitely not want to move on to that boring task, which is sorting, right? They want to live in the idea phase forever. Now, our high S's, they're going to balk at the idea of calling someone else's favorite idea because they don't want to offend anybody. They want everyone to feel included that their ideas are great. And so cutting out ideas quickly, that's where they're going to slow down and be like, wait, let's really consider all of these ideas to make sure that we're making the decision before we just cut them out. So they're going to be a lot slower in that and might need some guidance or some facilitation to get back at it or know that it's okay to cut out some of the less favorable ideas in order to make progress through this meeting.
You can use a high D's decisiveness and drive to resolve situations to cut off the discussion and move everyone to the next stage. So if you're a facilitator, you want to have told your high D ahead of time when you want that to happen, and a suggestion, an agenda for the meeting that tells you the stages of a brainstorming and when you're going to move from one section to another. That would allow the high D to follow the agenda and move people on at a time that seems reasonable because it was set down in the ground rules because it was on the agenda. If you're a high D yourself, choose one of the reserved profiles to help you make the decision of when the time is right. Somewhere between when you're ready and between they are ready is the right time. They will be too slow. You will be too fast. Somewhere in between is right. If you have that conversation ahead of time, hey, just let me know when you think we're starting to be ready to move on. That's probably about the time it's right to move on.
Now, high D's can help turn discussion points into action. High D's have a natural talent for finding the next action that will move in any situation. If any profile is good at being like, yes, let's do the next thing, it is the high D's. So they are ready to turn those ideas into action. Once all the ideas are collected, let the high D use their skill to decide what the next action should be, by when and by whom. They will quickly break down ideas into concrete steps, and they aren't afraid to hold people accountable. High D's are really good at telling people what to do and when, because it's not about any of the feelings involved. It's really about getting the job done quickly, those tasks. So your high D is the one who will make sure everyone leaves the meeting and knows what task that they have to do in order to get the results from the meeting themselves and be able to put things into action.
So managing a high D in a brainstorming situation, even if we're talking about managing yourself, means finding ways to use their strength and minimize their weaknesses. And so if you find yourself in a brainstorming situation and you're a high D, remember some of these techniques. Volunteer to be the scribe, and then you don't, it uses up some of that energy that you want to use to take over the meeting, for example. No team of all of one style is effective. If you have a team of all high eyes, they'll just party. Okay. That was slightly sarcastic. Fine. But high eyes like to do the connection piece and not the work piece. So, you know, they won't get there. A team of high S's will be so concerned about other people's feelings that they won't ever get anything done. A team of high C's will just talk about the details and talk themselves round and round, and they won't ever get anything done. And high D's will constantly do things that are the wrong things because they don't think for long enough, which is a very surface level pricey of different people's attitudes to work. And everybody is an individual and unique and much more well-rounded than that. But there are commonalities in the way that we approach work, and we could use those to our own advantage. So high Ds can absolutely help a team be successful at brainstorming. The task is to use their energy effectively and get the tasks done. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Join us next week. We'll be addressing brainstorming with a high I. Bye, everyone.
Bye.